We have just sung the Easter Alleluia, a word that we have not used for the whole of Lent. And suddenly we repeat it again and again, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The word Alleluia, which is a joyful acclamation, meaning praise the Lord, was already used by the Jews long before the time of Christ. But the church uses it as a kind of one-word response to the wonder of Easter, Alleluia, as if there's simply no other way to respond, just Alleluia, as if this one word somehow says everything that we can say, Alleluia. Now, of course, there's more to say. There's certainly more than one word to say. We've been here an hour and a half already, and we haven't simply been saying Alleluia again and again. So on the one hand, we say just one word. On the other hand, we say many words, as if we can never finish proclaiming what has happened and what it all means. Somehow, everything comes together at the Easter Vigil. The Easter Vigil is full of words. So many readings, so many psalms, so many prayers. And not only readings, so many symbols. Darkness, light, night, day, fire, candles, incense, water, flowers, music, singing, bells, white garments, all culminating with the sacraments, the greatest symbols of all, baptism. Well, one sign we have barely used yet. What do we normally do to express joy? We clap our hands. Halagpakan natin ang Panginoon. Also a good way to wake everybody up. Although that Alleluia and that Gloria woke everyone up, and we turned on all the lights and we realized we're in a glorious night. The Easter Vigil is not only the high point of the great Paschal Triduum and the high point of Holy Week, it's the high point of the whole year. This is the high point of our whole year. On this holy night, the church does everything possible to make this the biggest and the best liturgy of the whole year. Why? Because we're celebrating the biggest and the best event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ang muling pagkabuhay ni Jesucristo. There's an image of this mystery right up here above all of us. Can you see that one? The resurrection. You're supposed to look up and say, Alleluia. When you look up into the ceiling, you say, Alleluia. That's the response. Well, we have, let me put it this way. We have two challenges set before us on this night. First of all, to believe and understand what happened. And that's the one I want to focus on more. And then the second challenge is to share with others what we believe. To go forth and share the good news of the resurrection. First of all, we have to believe it ourselves. We have to understand it ourselves. And this is something that is mind-boggling. It's something that stretches us far beyond what we know normally or naturally. Now, I know if we've been raised in a Catholic culture, it may seem very familiar, almost commonplace, no surprise at all that Jesus rises on Easter. We celebrate it every year, and we've repeated it many times. We all know Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Fine. But wait a minute. There are some things that we can grasp. Jesus suffered. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. We can grasp that because we know people. We all know people who have suffered and who have died and who have been buried. That is commonplace. That's simply the course of human life. And we all end up in the same place, in the tomb. Jesus took on a real human nature. He took on the course of life that we all have. God put himself on the same path. He joined us in this course. Now, Jesus' course was unique, of course. For one thing, his suffering was worse. That's for sure. The cross was no ordinary death. It was torturous death. And he did it willingly for our sake. So that's what we've been reflecting on all week, the extraordinary sacrifice of the Lord, evidence of an extraordinary love. There is no greater love. Jesus himself said it. There is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. But once a man is buried, the mission is over. I mean, that's the end of that, right? Rest in peace, right? No, not in the case of Jesus Christ. Not in the case of Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, his body was laying in the tomb for a while, like anybody else, but he did not undergo corruption like everybody else does. On the third day, he got up and left the tomb. This is the shock. Umalis shock. Salimim. People don't leave tombs. They don't get up and leave the tomb. This is the thing we can't overemphasize. And he didn't rise in the same condition he was in before. He rose in a new condition, in a life on the other side of death. Eternal life. That's why we say hallelujah. Eternal life. And this is what we're celebrating, the resurrection, the first glorious mystery, the start of a whole new era, a new creation. We heard about the story of the first creation. It took 7 days, 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. And on the eighth day, which is today, a new creation starts. A new kind of life never seen before. Risen life. Oh, this is our faith. This is what we believe in. The resurrection is not just a hopeful idea or a myth or a consoling story that we tell each other. This is a declaration of victory over death itself, permanent victory over death itself. And the church has always proclaimed that the resurrection is the crowning truth of our faith. Without it, our whole faith is an empty fable. St. Paul says this. He says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain, if Christ is not raised. But he is raised. So the first challenge is to believe this. The first challenge is to let this mind-boggling truth set in, that there is new life after death, that the tomb is not the dead end that we thought it was, and that everyone thinks it is. Notice how St. Matthew in this gospel tonight describes the amazing change from the reign of death to the victory of life. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary arrive at the tomb. And what happens? There's an earthquake. An earthquake. You've experienced earthquakes. We've all experienced earthquakes. Biglang lumindol ng malakas. And then there's an angel who looks like lightning, and he rolls the big stone aside from the entrance of the tomb, and then he sits on the stone as if it's a toy for him. It's just a game. He just roll a big stone across and sit on it. There's great details in this passage from St. Matthew. He adds this one. The guards were shaken with fear and became like dead men. So the women expect to find a dead man in the tomb, but instead there are these guys who are like dead men guarding the tomb, and what's inside? Voila. There's no one inside the tomb. And the angel says, he's not here. He has been raised, just as he said. So this earthquake is not like that terrible earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria 2 months ago. That was a major catastrophe. That was a frightening, deadly earthquake. Some 57,000 people dead or more. But this Easter earthquake is just the opposite. It's not a bad news catastrophe. It's a good news, great news miracle. It's not death for thousands of people. It's new life for billions of people. In fact, for all who believe. So this is the shock, but it's a good kind of shock. And this is the first challenge, to take this in, to believe Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Now the second challenge, I won't talk about it quite as much, is what to do with this earthquake. How do we share this with others? This is the task of Easter, to go forth and to make known the good news of the resurrection. It's actually a natural consequence of faith. Because how can we simply go home and not tell anyone? That would be really weird. Look what happens in this gospel passage. The angel says, come and see the place where he was. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. See, once they know that he's risen from the dead, even though it's practically unbelievable, it says they're half frightened, half overjoyed. They have a task, they have a mission. Go quickly and tell others. And then, just to make it obvious, Jesus himself suddenly appears to these women. What does he say? He doesn't say, here I am, I'm risen, hallelujah. He says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. So first the angel, then Jesus himself, gives this mission, go and tell others. Now, this is part of Easter. Tonight we renew our faith, our profession of our faith. We renew the vows of our baptism, which was the earthquake in our own life. Baptism was the earthquake marking the change from death to life. And we rejoice in what we believe, and we rejoice tonight. And then we go and we share our faith. It's a challenge. The reason why it's a challenge, not only is it a challenge for us personally, but it's a challenge in the world we live in, because fewer and fewer people today believe this. Fewer and fewer people today believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, they believe that he existed, that he lived. They might even believe, most people would say he was a good man. Maybe he did great things, but they don't go any further. They leave him in the past. They leave him in the tomb, a man long dead. And they say, there have been a lot of important people who have lived in history. So what? All that happened a long time ago, if it happened at all. So what? That's how people speak now. What difference does it make? And people can raise all kinds of objections. Look around, they say, aren't things the same as they always were? Don't we still have wars? Don't we still have disasters, earthquakes, floods? Don't we still have corruption and evil people and prisons and hospitals and crimes and drugs? And in fact, maybe it's even worse than it was before. We still have sickness, we still have death. People still die, we all still end up in the tomb. But what's our answer to that? We don't deny it. We don't deny that all that's true. Yeah. Yeah. All these terrible things happen. People suffer. We suffer. People die. We die. But we say, there's more to the story than that. We have to get out of that box. We have to get out of that tomb. We have to get out of that narrowness of what we think is the whole of the human experience. There's more to the story. The resurrection of Christ changes everything. It changes everything. Yes, we die, but what happens after we die? Our life is not a dead-end journey. We have a destination that goes beyond this world. That's what's revealed tonight. We can live in hope. We can live in joy, even in the middle of a fallen world, even in a world full of suffering and death, because Jesus has come and has taken this whole condition on himself. He has gone all the way to death, and he's come out on the other side. And to that, we say just one word. What's the one word? Alleluia. Let's hear it again. Alleluia. One more time. Alleluia.